Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December 27th. Joining us is Fortuna Police Chief Bill Doberstein. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good.
Good.
Any sightings on Saturday evening over Fortuna?
You know, I heard on the scanner that, they were putting a BOL out for Santa Claus. So so somebody saw him. Yeah.
Good.
I did.
Yeah. You did?
No, I didn't. I did not.
Oh, I see. But you saw signs.
I did.
The trained detective in you.
That's right.
Saw signs.
I was watching the sky all night. Yep, I was looking.
You looked at the little card that said, "From Santa."
Yeah.
You put one and one together?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Came up with one?
Yeah.
Our quote this morning comes from Galloway Kinlan. "The first step shall be to lose the way."
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't think you want to hang that one in the detective room.
No.
No. But, you know, one of the things they do talk about in business is if something's not wrong, break it. Do you routinely, does the department routinely or even the city routinely say, okay, what if? How do we? If this stops, you know, I guess plan B is now kind of the cutesy phrase for it. Contingency planning is probably the fancy way to say it. But to look at the what ifs and how comes, and just because we're doing it good doesn't mean we couldn't be doing it great?
Absolutely. We look at that all the time. We have weekly department head meetings where we, you know, most of those discussions focus around our budget situation and, you know, what if, you know, the sales tax revenue doesn't project as expected, then what type of cuts are we willing to make and those sorts of things. But we have those discussions all the time. And we have management meetings within the police department where we're always talking about how can we do this better? How can we serve the public better, more efficiently? How could we best utilize our personnel, that sort of thing? So we're always reevaluating. Even if we think we're doing a good job, we're constantly reevaluating that and looking to improve.
So for FPD, what does good quality service look like? How do you hit that?
Well, being responsive, we look at our response times, obviously, for, are we responding? Public feedback is very important. We get a lot of public feedback. I get a lot of calls to my office. People happy with the service they received from a police officer, or happy with the assistance they were able to provide, or something along those lines. And that's one way to gauge, public perceptions of the police department. But also, you know, someone comes in and wants to file a complaint. That's also another way that we could look at something and examine that and see if we can do things better the next time.
I would think it's tougher, more challenging for an established department head to go looking for complaints, because it is reflecting on the systems you put in place and the people that you've hired and the way that you're handling it.
Right.
Do you?
You know, I don't go, quote, looking for complaints, but, you know, I'm involved with Rotary. I go to the chamber functions and things like that. So I'm in touch with the community, and frequently I'll hear, you know, not necessarily a complaint against an officer, but something in the city that they see as maybe a police-related issue that they bring up to me. So I do get feedback, you know, in those ways.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill Doberstein from sunny
Fortuna. It's about 80 degrees this morning when I left.
Was it?
Yeah.
Boy, you must have hit that that weather wall and just really had a tough reaction, huh?
Yeah, no, it was cold this morning.
What was the holiday season like for your troops this year? Was it the expected stuff, or was there some goofiness?
You know, for the most part, I think it was, you know, a pretty typical holiday season for the police department. This time of year, we always see an uptick in thefts. And we did, again, one of the disturbing things, we saw a trend in packages that were, you know, being left on people's doors, and they didn't have a neighbor pick them up or whatever. And those items being stolen. So we saw, you know, we had quite a few cases of packages being stolen and things like that. So we attribute that, you know, we see an uptick in that this time of season, the holiday season, theft from vehicles and those sorts of things. We expect to see upticks this time of year, and we did. And, you know, you compare it to the years past, though, and it's pretty typical.
Well, do things come cyclical? I'm not trying to lock into the lunar phases at all. But I remember you mentioned the packages off the porches.
Right.
Checks. Remember, you know, mm-hmm. checks would arrive in the boxes, they'd be in the mailbox, and people would be... same action, just a little bit different scenario.
Right. Yeah, mail theft is still, you know, fairly common. You know, the thing with mail theft, though, it's gotten a lot better with these new developments and subdivisions. They put those locking mailboxes in, so that eliminates, you know, most of the theft from mailboxes. It's those ones that are, you know, were out on the street and are easy access. So we see some of that. You know, it's kind of hit and miss as far as that goes. But yeah,
what is the one trend that's got your attention right now?
The one trend that has my attention. You know, I can't think of any one thing right off the top of my head. I'd say maybe the thefts that we're seeing in Fortuna. That's something that's, over the last couple of years, we've seen it trend an uptick in theft-related calls. And that's everything from, you know, bicycles being stolen to mail being stolen to boxes being stolen to theft from stores and businesses and things like that. So, you know, that's the first thing that comes to my mind as far as a trend goes.
Is shoplifting more serious now than what it was before?
No.
More prevalent now than what it was before?
It's more prevalent. Yes, definitely more prevalent. You know, Prop 47 and the theft-related component to Prop 47 has really limited us to what, you know, we can do with a shoplifter. For example, you know, they're not held in jail. You know, we arrest somebody for shoplifting. Unfortunately, it's considered a crime not worthy to be detained in jail custody because it doesn't rise to the level of seriousness to be booked in the jail. So that's one thing that we've seen with Prop 47, with other theft-related calls as well. Petty theft, $950 and under, pretty much it's going to be a cite and release type of situation. So, you know, and people know that.
Do the bad guys know that?
They know that, yeah, they do. They know that, and that's, I think, why we're seeing an uptick in theft-related calls, especially petty theft, because the consequences for, even if you're caught, the consequences aren't that great.
That's in the new whiz bang jail that's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
is a part of that design holding cells so that for the petty theft folks that, you know, it's not even worth the gas to take them to town?
Right.
You can hold them overnight. I mean, a little consequence, not a big consequence, but just a little. Is that part of it, or is this just you can't mess with it, you got to do the game as it's played now?
Well, you pretty much have to work in the framework that's, you know, of the law. And we used to have three holding cells at the Fortuna Police Department. And we used to keep, it was basically, you know, someone was intoxicated or something, we'd hold them for 4 hours. But the jail guidelines got so specific, and if you even had a holding cell where you were holding someone in a locked room, for any period of time, the guidelines were such that we couldn't maintain that. So we don't have any holding cells. So basically in Fortuna, you know, you sit in the back of the police car, go to the station, and then you go directly to jail. So we don't have that holding facility any longer.
Too bad you don't have some options that were there. I mean, I suppose there was some kind of a court rationalization for that.
Yeah.
Some standards, some case law, somebody went stupid. But it seems like as outside looking in, as years progress, your options change. And then if it doesn't flow as it should in theory,
right,
you get locked up, jammed up, whatever it is, and now you can't do too much to the bad guys.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, we're still out there enforcing the law. If we catch a shoplifter, we're going to go make an arrest. Unfortunately, like I said, the component of going to jail and actually, you know, spending some time in jail for something, you know, a petty theft misdemeanor type crime is not there anymore.
The consequences.
The consequences, yes. Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more when we return.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fortuna's Police Chief, Bill Doberstein. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Redick, and by the Salvation Army. Bill, looking ahead, you don't have a rudder on the ship right now. You got some nice inertia going.
Yeah.
I know Randy's, you know, doing his best to throw an oar down and keep you online, but, yeah. Is it that disruptive? Not to have a permanent, or as permanent as they can get, city manager in place? Or is this kind of an opportunity for each of the department heads to kind of rise to the occasion and do what you do and do it best and wait for the new guy on the team to show up?
It's pretty much what we're doing. And as a department head group, I think we work really well together with Public Works and Finance Department and Community Development. And you know, Randy coming in and having experience in Arcata as a city manager helped tremendously. I knew Randy before he came to Fortuna, so we already were familiar
before
with each other.
Before he was Randy?
Before he was Randy, yeah. Before he was, you know, city manager Randy, right. But it's he's done a great job. He's came in. He really took it upon himself to learn about Fortuna and the issues in Fortuna. He went out and talked to the community and community groups, and I know he went to the chamber and he really immersed himself in the community to find out get the pulse of the community, and he's done a great job. And
well, kind of like what we were talking about in the last segment.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And he's done a great job, and he's worked very well with the department heads. We have weekly meetings. In fact, we meet every Tuesday, and it gets everybody in the same room for a couple of hours to talk about all the issues that are going on in the city. But it's also, you know, helping Randy understand all the goings-on in the different departments as well. So,
well, I would think one of the challenges is to have different department heads understand what other departments are doing.
Yeah.
You know, if they're paving the streets, yeah, it's going to impact you guys, even if it's just basic response.
Absolutely. And that's the value of these weekly meetings that we have with our, you know, because, you know, the, you know, Merritt, our public works director, will say, these are the projects we're doing, and we'll coordinate right there at the meeting. Okay, well, we need this for traffic control on this day or that day. And you know, it's great to get and to work with them. And, you know, the police department and city hall being in the same building, you know, it's a little bit closer knit than if, you know, we were on the other side of town or something like that as well. So,
well, they can tell when something's going on. All of a sudden, the parking lot gets empty.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They see everybody running.
Is the fire department included?
No, the fire department, this community services district that they're funded through. So they're not really a department of the city. So they're not in those meetings. However, the second council meeting of every month, the fire chief does give a report to the city council on the fire department. So we do stay informed and we do talk to each other. And me and Lon talk often about different issues. But as far as being a city department, they're funded in a different way than the city.
Question was more towards the communications.
Right.
So that everybody kind of knows what's going on.
Yeah, and we do. We talk all the time.
Is that something that is new, or is that something that's kind of been baked into the culture for a while, the sharing back and forth, formal or informal?
It's been baked into culture for a while, and it's actually within the last probably 4 years. When Regan got there, we became a lot more cohesive as a unit and set up these weekly meetings and getting together and sharing things in the different departments. And I think that was very helpful.
So with the fact that we're halfway through the budget cycle, you guys have got the portent of new money.
Yes.
Coming around the corner. You started figuring those plans out yet? Or are you going to wait until you get whatever the number is and then start executing that?
We are planning right now on how to better affect safety for the city of Fortuna with positions. And until, I believe it's December 30th is the final date that somebody can apply to be on the Measure E advisory board. And, you know, so all of our requests will go through an advisory board. They're going to be council decisions. However, in the police department, you know, we've been advocating for, you know, three new sworn positions, a detective, a problem-oriented police officer, and a school resource officer that we want to start getting people hired and in place in those positions in the near future.
Isn't that kind of what sold the community, was this was going to cops?
Absolutely. And the council is 100% behind that as well. I don't, you know the percentage of what the revenues are going to the police department, but I do know that they are 100% behind adding those positions to our police department to enhance the public safety.
So if the advisory board has to be selected in January.
Right.
When do the funds, is this in preparation for the budget year July 1?
That's my understanding, is that they will be advising the council for use of the Measure E monies for the next fiscal year, which begins on July 1st. So I believe that the city just applied with the Board of Equalization, you know, to implement the tax. And the city's not going to receive any of those monies from Measure E probably until early summer of next year anyway. So, you know, we're kind of planning 6 months ahead of time.
You say next year, that almost got me.
Next year, yeah.
And I think you did that on purpose.
Yeah. A few more days.
Am I gullible today? Yeah. Oh. KINS, News and Information, Times 842. We'll be back with more from Bill.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information, Times 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill Doberstein. Bill, is there anything that's kicking in next Monday that is a significant for you? I know Cy was on last week, and he said texting.
Mm-hmm.
and baby seats.
Right.
Those were the yeah. two new things. Obviously, they're going to be new things for you guys, too.
Right.
Is texting and driving or distracted driving or whatever the cutesy-wootsy phrase is that significant?
It is significant. For you guys? Yeah, it is. It's a very significant issue. You know, a lot of traffic accidents happen because people are distracted while they drive, and it's a big issue. And, you know, we get these, you know, we're out there enforcing, you know, the current, you know, no cell phone, no distracted driving laws that are in place. But we do get from time to time a little mini grant from the Office of Traffic Safety to go out and do some special enforcement in those areas, which is really helpful. But it's a big
issue.
Is
it Main Street? Is it the Boulevard? Where do you see most of the use?
I see it all over. Main Street, Boulevard, you know, across the board, people are on their cell phone driving. A lot of people, you know, have the earpieces now, which is great, you know, so they can keep their eyes on the road. But a lot of people don't. And, you know, so we're out there looking for those types of things. And, you know, it's a public safety issue, obviously. The child seat thing, you know, it's, you know, I've in 22 years, I've stopped and cited many people for failing to have a child safety seat or something like that. And the citation for that, the fine on that, you could probably buy 3 or 4 car seats, you know, if you got caught without one. And, you know, it's just dumb and stupid not to have a car seat for your child. But the new law requires them to be rear-facing, I believe, until they're 2 years old and are 40 pounds. Which is a good thing, you know. It's only going to increase safety for the children.
Good year, 2016. Challenging year, 2016. What one or two words are going to describe it for you?
It was a challenging year. However, we saw a lot of good things happen for the city of Fortuna and the police department. Primarily with the passage of Measure E, I think is going to make 2017 a much better year as far as public safety is concerned, because we will be able to do enhance public safety and do some things in the PD that will benefit the community. But it's been a challenging year. We're seeing calls for service about 2,000 more than they were last year. So we're going to hit about 23,000 calls for service this year. So we are responding to a lot of calls for service. Our guys are busy, but, you know, if we can get some positions on board and get a detective on board and get our guys out there focusing on patrol, I think it's going to be a great year coming up.
So you get 3 more. You got to anticipate there's going to be more calls for service just because there's more guys out there looking around.
Right.
So an increase in calls for service isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not necessarily a bad thing as long as we have the personnel to handle it.
Properly, professionally. Properly the Doberstein way.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right, thank you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too.
We've been talking shop with Bill Doberstein. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug some of you. See you then.